Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
Most of us, I think, already know, we probably know it by heart, John 3:16. That's the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved, God gave. What do? We believe. We just believe what God did. That's good news. I can do that. I can believe. I can't be perfect, but I can believe.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian is continuing his study in the book of Romans. Join us as Pastor Brian begins in Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, in a message titled, The Gospel of God. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
He makes indirect reference to the pre-existence of Christ, and he's also referring to the incarnation of Christ. So, his pre-existence in that he was born of the seed of David, or you could translate the word born, made of the seed of David, or became of the seed of David. The idea is that he became something that he formerly was not. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 2, you remember, concerning Jesus, that he was in the form of God, his original position. He was in the form of God, but he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. He humbled himself, became of no reputation, and he took upon himself the form of a servant. And that's what Paul is talking about here. He was in one form as God. Now he becomes a man. He becomes a man, a descendant of David according to the flesh. But then he says he is declared to be the Son of God with power. He's declared to be the Son of God with power through the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So again, as we've pointed out, and you've heard, no doubt, from others, the resurrection is it's the proof that everything Jesus claimed was true. So the declaration that Jesus was more than just the Son of David, the declaration that Jesus was more than just a mere man, came through the resurrection from the dead. He is declared to be the Son of God with power by the Spirit of holiness through the resurrection from the dead. Now, think about this. He was declared to be the Son of God with power. We know that in the public ministry of Jesus, he exerted power, didn't he? We see him exerting power over sickness, disease. We see him exerting power over the forces of nature. So there is, within his public ministry, there's a demonstration of power. But the greatest demonstration of power came through the resurrection. And you remember, Jesus would always point, when he was challenged about where he got the authority to do the things he did, or you know, who do you think you are doing this, he wouldn't point finally to the things he was doing, the miracles that were being done right before their eyes, although he could have, but he would always point to the greater demonstration of the resurrection. You remember he said on that occasion, when he cleansed the temple, they said, "What gives you the right to do this? Who gave you this authority?" they said. Well, he could have said, "Well, haven't you seen the miracles I'm doing? Don't you think I've got authority? Didn't you see that blind man that I healed? Haven't you heard about those dead people that I raised up?" But he didn't do that. He said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it again." So he's always pointing to the resurrection as this is going to be the proof. But when Paul says here that he's declared to be the Son of God with power, the power that he's talking about here is the power that was displayed through the resurrection, but then it's the power that goes beyond the mere healing of physical bodies or the raising of people from physical death. It's now the power, the spiritual power. He's the Son of God with power. Power for what? He has the power to forgive sin. How do we know that Jesus Christ can forgive sin? We know that he can forgive sin because he said he was going to die for our sin, and he did die, and then he rose again, proving that the sacrifice that he made for our sin was accepted. So now he can forgive sin. He has the power to forgive our sin. He has the power to forgive our sin. He has the power to give us life. And so he's the Son of God with power. Jesus Christ gives life to those who put their faith and trust in him. This is the distinct factor with the Christian faith. We do not have a religion in the sense that we see in other religions. Other religions are basically list of rituals or rules of various sorts that people are to do their utmost to abide by them in the hope that ultimately they will find acceptance with God and be able to enjoy eternity with God, whatever that means. That's what you find across the board in religion. But in the biblical message, the gospel message, you find something radically different. You find life. You find life. It's an encounter with God. Think of all the people, and I would imagine that there are some in here tonight that would be in this category. All of the people that spent years, even decades, in Christian churches of whatever denomination, spent decades sitting in services, listening to priests or preachers or whatever the case, but it just went in one ear and out the other. It went over your head. It didn't mean anything. It was just a religious exercise. It had no life-changing impact on you whatsoever. That's how religion is. But then something happened. You had an encounter with the Son of God who has power. And he forgave your sins and gave you life. And now you've got this whole other thing that you didn't even know existed. You could have even dreamed that it was a possibility.
We'll return to Pastor Brian's message in just a moment. But first, we'd like to remind you to visit our website, backtobasicsradio.com. You can download a podcast of today's message or stream it for free. So take a moment and go to our website and be sure to sign up for Pastor Brian's weekly devotional. Now let's continue with today's message.
I can honestly say that I went to church for years and it never one time did it dawn on me that I could know God, have a relationship with God, experience the power of God in my life. I wanted to know God, at least to some degree. I wanted God to touch me to some extent. I wanted God's help. I knew I was screwed up. I needed some help. But there was nothing there. There was nothing there. And week in and week out, going to the services and going through the rituals, and my particular rituals centered around Roman Catholicism because that's was my background. But I remember those times of I wanted to somehow, I didn't even know that you could connect with God, so I can't say I was wanting to connect with God, but I was just wanting somehow to at least be right with God. And I went through a season where I was pretty serious about trying to get my life sorted out spiritually. And in my way of thinking, the way you did that is you had to really show God you were serious. So I went out of my way to trouble myself, thinking that in doing so, I was impressing God. So I'm going to get up really early in the morning, and I'm going to walk a few miles down to the local church, and I'm going to kneel down and pray for a while. That, you know, that was a sacrifice in my mind. And I was thinking, okay, something's got to happen through this. Or I'm going to get that rosary that I have, and I'm going to pray that thing till the Virgin Mary appears. Or, you know, whatever happens, honestly, I don't even know what I was expecting, but I was just, I just knew I needed God, but I never found him. All of those things that I did, all of that energy that I exerted, all of that effort I put forth, at the end, there was nothing there. It wasn't until it became clear to me in an instant that what I needed was just to receive Christ. It wasn't until that moment that everything changed and the lights came on. And what am I talking about? I'm talking about the Son of God with power touched me and gave me life. And it was a whole nother thing. And it's been a whole nother thing since then. But sometimes I'm afraid that we forget that. That we get so far down the road as Christians that we just sort of, you know, we lose the excitement and the joy and the passion and all that stuff that we had in the early days. And then we kind of go back into almost a religious mode where we're going through the routine. We're going to church. We're doing the things we've always done. But there's no expectation of encountering God. There's no expectation of a fresh moving of God's Spirit and his power. And this can happen to us. I was talking to a friend yesterday who pastors a large church. He was telling me a pretty amazing story. I was shocked as he was telling me what he was telling me, but he said that he was praying and he felt the Lord put on his heart that he should introduce a time of prayer prior to his, during the Sunday morning services, but, you know, not doing what they'd normally had done with just starting off with the routine of worship and all that. But first, you know, maybe a song or two, but then we're going to take 10 or 15 minutes or however long it was. He said, you know, he exhorted the people, we're going to pray and just connect with each other and ask the Lord to move and ask him to touch our lives. And, you know, he just figured that this is what God was putting on his heart. And this is the people we're going to, you know, maybe they'd be a little bit timid initially, but of course they would get on board and yeah, this is great. Praise the Lord. He told me 1,500 people left his church over the implementation of prayer. They just couldn't handle it. It was just too much. Too much life. You know, when I was in the Catholic Church as a young man, I remember the most agonizing time for people. You could see it on everybody's face. There was that time when the priest would say, turn to your neighbor and say to them, peace be with you. And, oh, you could just sense that nobody wanted to do that. That's too much. Well, what do we need to do that for? I can just sit by them. I don't need to talk to them. I don't need to tell them anything. Certainly don't need to touch them or anything. My grandmother, she was a wonderful lady who did know the Lord, but was a strong and devout Catholic all the way to the end. But she told me one time, she said, you know, your church, it's just too friendly there for me. People are just too touchy-feely. And I understand, not everybody's like that. That's fine. But the point is this, Jesus has given us life. And you know where there's life, there's activity. There's action. There's excitement. He's the Son of God with power. He's forgiven our sins. He's given us spiritual life. And that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about religion. And God help us if we ever lose sight of that and drift back into just that stagnated, dead, lifeless form. And there's plenty of places in Scripture that warn us about that. Paul talks about those who have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. They've got the outward things. They've got the external things. They're in the church. They're Christians. They do all of the external things, but it's a form, but there's no power. This gospel is a gospel that comes with power because it's the gospel of the Son of God, declared to be the Son of God with power to forgive sin, to give life, to raise the dead. Not merely the dead physically, but to raise people from the dead spiritually. That's an even greater accomplishment than raising someone from the dead physically. But this is what Paul is talking about when he refers to Jesus as the Son of God with power. So he's declared to be the Son of God with power by the Spirit of holiness through the resurrection from the dead. So again, it's the resurrection, as we've heard many times before. The resurrection is the cornerstone of the Christian faith. Jesus rose from the dead. This is the thing that distinguishes him. This is the thing that sets him apart. When Paul is preaching on Mars Hill in Athens, he's telling them that God has appointed a day. He's calling them to repent, these philosophers. He's saying, you need to repent because God has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness, and he has designated the man through whom he will judge the world by raising him from the dead. See, Jesus rose from the dead. This is the proof. This is the evidence that he is indeed the Son of God. He's not merely the son of David. He is that, but he's more than that. He is also the Son of God. The Son of God, not inferior to God, but the Son of God, meaning possessing the same nature as God. And of course, again, this is the incarnation. This is God becoming a man. He's fully God, but he also becomes a man. Fully God and fully man simultaneously. This is a mystery that we can't really comprehend. But the resurrection is the evidence, Paul says. This is the way God has declared Jesus to be his son, not merely the son of Mary. And with the resurrection, there are plenty of evidences for the resurrection. There have been many brilliant men in history who have sought to disprove the resurrection, declaring it to be a hoax. And after much research, have come to the conclusion that the resurrection is the best established fact in history. Atheists, agnostics, skeptics who set out to destroy the Christian faith ended up being converted themselves because of the overwhelming evidence for the resurrection. So, the gospel. The gospel is God's gospel. It is a gospel that was promised before. It's not new. And it is a gospel that concerns his son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, real quickly, remember, gospel again means the good news. And we talk about the gospel. And there are times when, of course, we attempt to share the gospel. But the question that is a pertinent one is just exactly what is the gospel? And it's amazing the answers you will get to that question from people that you would think would know the answer. I have seen it with my own eyes. I've seen it where people, church people, leaders within church groups, denominations, and so forth, have been asked the question, what is the gospel? Define the gospel. Tell us, just, you know, as briefly as possible, what the gospel is. And it's absolutely amazing how many people will tell you something that really isn't the gospel at all. I've heard people say the gospel is love your neighbor as yourself. That's not the gospel. I've heard people say the gospel is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. No, that's not the gospel. Some have even said the gospel is just be a good person, just do your best. That is not the gospel. Now, look, think of all that. The word gospel means good news, right? So anything telling me to do something that I can't do in order to get to heaven, that's not good news. That's bad news. This is good news. And what's the good news? Well, the good news is simply God's done for us what we could never do for ourselves through Jesus. He's done it all. And let me just give you, in closing, we're going to wrap it up right now. But let me just give you a few verses that are basically just the gospel in a nutshell. And if you will commit these verses to memory, this will help you personally to have a greater understanding of the gospel yourself, but it will certainly help you as well to communicate it when the opportunity arises. And the first verse is one that most of us, I think, already know. We probably know it by heart. John 3:16. That's the gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved, God gave. What do? We believe. We just believe what God did. That's good news. I can do that. I can believe. I can't be perfect, but I can believe. But in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, here's another sort of a gospel in a nutshell. Jesus our Lord was delivered up for our offenses and was raised for our justification. That's the gospel in a nutshell. He was delivered for our offenses. He was raised for our justification. My favorite one is Romans 5:19. I love this one. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Adam made us all sinners. Christ will make us all righteous. What's our part? Believe it. That's the gospel. That's good news. I can't make myself righteous, but I can believe that Jesus can do it. And that's all I have to do. Here's the last one, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Another great one. For he, God, made him, Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I love that one. God made him to be sin, to be the sin offering for us, so that we could become the righteousness that God requires. We become that in him. We become that through our faith in him. So this is the gospel that Paul preaches. And this is the gospel that he's going to go on and expound as we move on through this book of Romans. As it has been called, Romans has been subtitled the gospel of grace. And that's what we're talking about here. The grace of God. The gospel is, the good news is, Jesus did what I could never do for myself. And if I simply believe that, then God imputes righteousness to me for my faith and my faith alone. That's the gospel. That's good news.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Brodersen. I'd like to remind you that you can get today's message and any additional resource designed to encourage you in your walk with the Lord at our website, backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter at BackTOB Radio or like us on our Facebook page. We enjoy hearing from you. We would also like to send you a gift for supporting Back to Basics. Our gift for this month for a donation of any size is A.W. Tozer's The Knowledge of the Holy. This book illuminates God's attributes from wisdom to grace to mercy, and in doing so, restores the majesty and wonder of God in the hearts and minds of all of us. The Knowledge of the Holy is a modern classic of Christian testimony and devotion. The details for obtaining this month's book and all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll return tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Romans. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.